Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to Between the Green. Now, some of you may know, some of you know me personally or, you know, can check the feed, I guess. No, this podcast was going on for a while. I took a break due to school and other things, but I am back. Expect a lot of episodes about mostly college football, the NBA, NFL, topics outside of sports. Maybe I'll do some music stuff. If you don't know, I do a podcast called Shameless Plug as well. It's on YouTube. It's on all the podcasting platforms. Our best episodes are definitely on YouTube. Best way to watch it. But, you know, everybody there, me, my cousin, and our friend Max, all live in separate places now. So the episodes are just kind of harder to do. But I still do that when that's mostly music and just, like, cultural things. But, you know, maybe I'll bring some of that into here, some of the things we just don't talk about there or weeks where we don't record. But, yeah, welcome to Between the Green, man. Expect a lot of episodes throughout the season. For those who don't know, my name is Gabriel Green. I am a student at Clark Atlanta University. I'm a mass media arts major. I plan on working in the sports media field. And I think that's a good amount about me. Oh, yes, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. That's where I currently am for the next about a little less than a month. Again, just welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast. Please subscribe, leave it a 5-star review, and just, you know, just I hope you really enjoy. Our first topic, me being an HBCU student, Clark Atlanta is an HBCU, for those who didn't know, HBCU sports are near and dear to my heart. Now, Clark Atlanta sports are not Division I, they're Division II. Our football games are kind of meh. I'll be honest, like, the first half of the year, I didn't go to too many because the Georgia sun is blaring in your face, just the way the stadium is angled. But, you know, HBCU sports are still very, very near and dear to me. And with that being said, naturally, Jackson State football is something I pay close attention to. I'd even go as far as to say, outside of Michigan, who was the program I grew up going to every single home game, all that stuff. Outside of Michigan, Jackson State is probably the program I pay the most attention to and probably even care about the most. And, you know, obviously, most of you probably know Deion Sanders, one of the greatest football players ever, is the head coach of the program. And if you know that, you also probably know they signed the number one overall player in last year's class, Travis Hunter. Also, nobody talks about this. As much great as Travis Hunter is and as big of a deal as this was, they also signed another top 60 guy, Kevin Coleman, who's a receiver out of Missouri. And they also have, you know, Dejon Warren. They have Quay Davis, I believe his name is, who's a 4-star receiver. Like, they have, like, guys on this team that outside of Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is practicing against pretty good players on a regular basis on both sides of the ball. But anyway, I digress. And, you know, they compete in the SWAC, which is FCS. Now, they led FCS in attendance by a wide margin. They had over 40,000 fans a game. I think it's fair to assume they'll have over 50,000 a game next year. COVID's completely in the... I don't want to say completely in the rear view. I don't want to be insensitive. But, you know, even more so in the rear view than it was last fall. As well as, you know, they brought in Travis Hunter. And just overall hype of the program, they'll easily have over 50,000 a game. And, you know, Deion Sanders was on ESPN talking about this. And they asked him, you know, how does this realignment with UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten and even Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, does that have an effect on HBCUs? And he was like, oh, absolutely. He was like, you know, eventually the prominent HBCUs, which, you know, you can imagine the FAMUs, the Southerns, the Gramblings, the North Carolina A&Ts, the Tennessee States, eventually programs of that level, I'm probably forgetting a few, so respect to your school if I am, but programs at that level are going to have to make a decision. Do they adhere to, this is his words, adhere to tradition or really, you know, go and try to move forward? And I think it's time, specifically for Jackson State, because I just know that program better, I think it's time they really, really look at a move to Conference USA or the Sun Belt Conference, specifically the Sun Belt. I think that would be a better move for them. Now, in order to be an FCS program, you have to have 18 sport programs. They have 19. And you have to have an average of 15,000 fans. They had over 40, and it's going to get larger. They would also lead both of those conferences in attendance by a pretty wide margin. I know in the Sun Belt, nobody else can even hold. I think the only one of the team even holds 40,000, and that's it. Jackson State, in theory, can have 60. They have, like, 62,000 in the vet. So it's time for them to just make this move, you know. And why is it time? Well, Deion Sanders' contract isn't very high, and making this move, you'll bring in more money so you can pay Deion more. You can have more at the FBS level. You can have more scholarship players. You can pay your coaches more. Your facilities will be better. I don't know if you knew this, but all right. So since Deion's got there, he's made a lot of changes. New field, new practice field, new uniforms, all that stuff. And all that's fine and dandy. He's had a lot of sponsors do it, and he's done a lot out of his own pocket. Because, again, Deion Sanders has a lot of money. He isn't doing this just for the money. There's other jobs he would have taken. However, they're working on, I saw the video on Instagram. I think it was on the pregame show, which is like the Jackson State, like, official, you know, football media team. And, you know, they have, you know, they're working on their facilities, which actually look pretty cool. Walter Payton Hall, which, you know, Walter Payton went to Jackson State. And, you know, they're almost done, but not quite. And they ran out of money, which I don't know. I know Diddy was supposed to give them $1 million. I don't know if they're factoring that in. I don't know if that money doesn't come later. I don't ask me, but. And Deion Sanders decided, you know, he's going to pledge half of his salary, which is about, it's 300 grand with incentives, so it's closer to like 500. So he's going to pledge like 200, 250 and they're fixing this up and they're finishing this. And he shouldn't have to do that. First of all, he should be making more money than he is. Second of all, it shouldn't come down to this. And now if you make a move like this, you're bringing in more money, bringing in more resources to that sports program, the football team, but also just the smaller programs as well. You know, they'll just have better resources as a school. Now, again, this move seems obvious. Now, you might be wondering, well, why would the conferences do this? Jackson State would be the biggest brand in either one of these conferences. You know, respect to the Coastals and the App States. But Jackson State has a big fan base. They get people to go to their games. They have cool uniforms. They have the most social media followers of any of these teams. Like, this is an obvious move. And teams will watch. You think teams won't want to watch Deion Sanders on national TV? They'll make more money off their TV deal. It's just so many other things they could do that they could do to really, really help these conferences if Deion Sanders were to, you know, if they were to accept Deion Sanders in Jackson State. So I don't think it's, you know, I think it's a smart move for the conferences to say, hey, you know what? We're going to bring in Jackson State. Even a FAMU. You know, you just bring in these HBCUs because now you're bringing HBCU football is more popular. And just being honest here, more black people, we will watch. You know, we'll really, really follow these programs and really, really be fans of these programs. And these programs will do better for themselves. And they also, I think, help the conferences, especially Jackson State. Now, the one argument I've seen against this, and this is the reason I even want to do this, was a lot of people have this mentality of, well, don't do that. You're leaving the rest of them behind. You know, we're supposed to stick together. Jackson State, or any school, I don't think is obligated to have to wait for everyone else to catch up. I understand you want to stick together. I think in a perfect world, the SWAC is just a FBS conference. You know, in a perfect world, the SWAC and the MEAC combine and are FBS. That they don't have the means to do that. A few schools do. You know, the schools I listed earlier do, and a few other ones do. But Mississippi Valley has like an athletic budget of $1 million. You know, the lowest at the FBS level is like 20, 23, you know, and Valley's is not going to get that money. They're a small school. So I think it's time. I don't think these schools should feel obligated to stay behind. I do think I would like if another HBCU went with Jackson State to this move. Prairie View to these conferences. I'm sorry. Prairie View is the one. They have a lot of money in their athletic program. And, you know, they could get even more. And they'll have the resources. And I know Jackson State doesn't have the money right now, but making this move, they will. And it'll be easy for Deion, who knows everybody, I'm sure, to get even more and more sponsors and more, you know, people bringing in money to the program if they're playing at a higher level, if they're getting more, you know, exposure. And Carl Reed, who works for 24/7, he was talking about how he was talking to a top defensive player. And it's a few guys it could be. They're probably a five-star. There's a handful of guys who are really considering Jackson State. And part of the reason they're considering it is they expect Jackson State to move up to FBS. Deion Sanders has a clause in his contract about moving up to FBS where he gets some sort of bonus. So, and Deion Sanders came out and said, yeah, you know, we're looking at it right now. Like, we're very, very involved. So, it's a matter of when, not if, for Jackson State. This is the type of move they have to make. Also, really, maybe even the biggest point, Jackson State isn't just going to be great just because they're Jackson State. If Deion Sanders leaves, they could still be very good, but there's no guarantee. And the only reason they're in the position they are now is because Deion came there. If they just had a guy who was a better football coach than Deion Sanders, they're still not bringing in five-star talent to that level. And you're just overall, you know, that guy will just leave. Having a former player where money is not the motivator is really the thing that boosted them. Because, you know, Deion Sanders can be successful and you don't have to worry about him jumping ship immediately. Because he probably could have gotten a better job at the FBS, a small FBS school. He wasn't interested. So, you know, if you want to keep Deion Sanders, and if you want to be in a position where once Deion Sanders inevitably retires or leaves or whatever, you can still have success, and the Jackson State brand is big enough that a decent coach will want to come there and players will want to come there. This is the type of move you have to make. You have to upgrade. You can't just sit still. You have to keep getting better. I know in the HBCU community, especially with sports and other things, there's kind of the nature is just to be kind of stagnant. But I don't. This is an obvious move. I really, really want to see Jackson State at the FBS level. I would love to see more HBCUs at the FBS level. Again, it's a matter of when, not if. And I mean, I think that's really the main point. Just, you know, the recruiting and stuff will just get better and better. And it would honestly just be entertaining. So I would love to see it. Coming up next, I have my good friend Gabe Efros. I know he has the same name as me. I call him Goose. He's going to be on. We're going to talk Big Ten over-under for this upcoming season. Ladies and gentlemen, I am back. And I am here with a special, special guest. Please welcome from the Bragman Breakdown, Gabe Efros, Goose Efros.
Hello. We're moving in silence here. No Jackson on this one. I know when he sees this, he's going to immediately be like, what happened? When did this happen?
Yeah. Okay, so for those who don't know, Jackson's a friend of ours. We do the Bradman Breakdown. Please, again, subscribe to that podcast as well. Mm-hmm. Mostly NBA talk and, you know, other things. Not as much college football. But definitely, he's definitely going to be a little upset. But I told him I was bringing it back, and I did tell him I was probably going to have you on. But so no shockers there. But Goose, me and you are both obviously Michigan fans, so we know the Big Ten pretty well. I would say I know it better than any other conference.
I would too, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just you kind of just have to. And, you know, the season's coming up, and I was looking at over-under win totals for all conferences, and every conference there's at least one or two that I think are just terrible. And the Big Ten is kind of the same. So I figured I'd have you on so we could talk about this. So without further ado, I figured, you know what, we're both Michigan fans. We should start with Michigan, all right?
Okay.
The over-under win total for Michigan is 9.5. Now, last year, they won 11 games. And by the way, this is just for the regular season, so this doesn't include bowls or...
Oh, this is just regular season?
I believe so, yes. And I don't think it counts, includes, the Big Ten Championship, playoff, whatever, bowl, whatever happens. But so the 9.5 is a prediction. They won 11 games. They went 11-1 last year, lost to Michigan State. 9.5 seems low.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially since the schedule, mostly because I do think Michigan will be worse, but the schedule is very easy. So They have their non-conference games are Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn. Those are all wins.
Yeah. I was going to say that this year, a lot of people have been saying that, you know, making fun of Michigan's soft non-conference, but I would like to say that I think it's good. I think that we should embrace the soft non-conference because we're the Big Ten's because it's kind of a crapshoot now, so we're going to need softer non-conferences, and I think it will be the future. But that's just a side tangent.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know, I think every team should play at least one other Power Five school. I mean, none is tough. But yeah, Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn, those are three easy wins. From the West, they draw Nebraska and Iowa. Iowa's at Iowa. Nebraska's at the Big House. Michigan beat Iowa by almost 40 last year when they played. And I think I see no real improvement with Iowa. Their two toughest games are probably Ohio State and Michigan State. Even if I think Penn State might be better than Michigan State this year, it's just, you know, Michigan State's kind of been an Achilles heel for Harbaugh.
Yeah, I agree. However, I don't think they'll lose to Michigan State. I agree with that. I think Penn State, as many athletes as they have, they're not well coached ever. So I do think that you're right in that, but I do think CBS Sports has us losing to Michigan State. I don't think we're going to lose. I think we're going to win.
Yeah. By the way, we are using CBS Sports for this. Yeah. So if any numbers change, you know, this.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Even if we lose to Michigan State and Ohio State, 9.5 is low. I think this is at least a 10-win team, 10 or 11. They could easily, Michigan can be not that great and easily go undefeated into the Ohio State game, especially since Penn State's at the Big House. Penn State and Michigan State are at Michigan.
Yeah, the way I like to think about it is Michigan wasn't even that good going into the Ohio State game last year, and we were 10-1, relatively. I think, and this year we have an easier schedule. I said this earlier to Gabe, a few days ago. I think that there's absolutely no chance that we lose on the road at Iowa.
I don't think so either.
I don't think we lose at home at all this year. And I think we go into Ohio State undefeated and then get stomped. But I do think we'll hit the over on 10 wins there pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to harp on that too much. Let's go right up the road to Michigan State. 7.5.
Yeah, this was disrespectful.
Yeah, they went 10-2 in the Big Ten last year. That again, I don't like Michigan State. I want to preface that. That's low. Their out-of-conference games are Western Michigan, who quietly is not, for the MAC, is not terrible. Akron is terrible. And then Washington. Washington's definitely a tough game. I think they play at Washington as well. But Michigan State's got to hit the over here, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think... I think really the only games Michigan State will lose is Ohio State and then to Michigan. They really hammered the transfer market again this year, where pretty much no one else in the conference did. Mm-hmm. And I think they will get better at almost every position when you consider the fact that they were really not that great of a team last year, except for the running back position where they had, maybe the best player in the whole country. And I think they get better all around. And for that reason, I do think they will easily hit the over on the 7.5 wins.
Yeah, this is an odd one. They do go to Penn State and they do go to Michigan. And they get Ohio State at home. But Ohio State thing, I'm just chalk that up. But some of the swing games, Maryland could, if their secondary is as bad as it was last year, which it can't get any worse. It's only up from here. Maryland could, if their secondary struggle, Maryland could be a tough one. I mean, Maryland has as good of a receiving room as there is in the country outside of Texas and Ohio State. That could be definitely a tricky game for them. But, they should beat Wisconsin. I'd imagine that, I don't know, that one's going to be a slugfest. But even if they lose to Wisconsin, they could lose to Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin and still hit the over. I don't think Washington's going to be very good, first-year head coach and everything, and they weren't good last year. This has got to be an over. 7.5 is low. I was personally thinking 8.5 for Michigan State.
That seems better to me.
Yeah,
that seems more of an opportunity for the sports books to make some money.
Yeah, I don't understand the 7.5 thing, but I digress. Let's stay in the Big Ten East. We'll do it by sides. Ohio State, 11 wins. This is the right number to me. I'm never really feel comfortable picking anyone to go undefeated. I would, if gun to my head, I would probably say they go undefeated, but So their toughest games, Notre Dame is a very tough non-conference game. They get Michigan State, they get Michigan. Out of the West, they draw Wisconsin and Iowa. However, both of them have to go to Columbus. And Iowa, not at Iowa, is not that scary of a game. I don't see how Ohio State does. I honestly think they go undefeated. Maybe they have a slip up. So I think 11 wins is probably the perfect number. I've seen 10.5 other places. But this team's gotta be better, right? They gotta hit the over, right?
Yeah, they weren't even bad last year, but I mean their defense is crazy. Even though it was bad last year, they still have a ton of 5 stars in every position. But I just don't see how they would lose. I know they played Notre Dame, but Notre Dame, as I like to say, they're not big time. They're the least big time program in the whole country, so they'll probably drop the game. And then the only other game I think that Ohio State could maybe lose is against Michigan, only because it's a rivalry game. Otherwise, I really don't think Ohio State would have any trouble beating Michigan, but that's the only game I could see them potentially losing, but I would also take the over at 12 wins.
For sure. And obviously, there's always upset potential. Another underrated storyline, they don't get the whiteout game this year. Fox took that, so the whiteout game would be Minnesota, which is weird. So they don't even have to play in that. So I honestly think they go undefeated. If not, then they're not losing more than one game. And I think Jim Knowles will improve the defense. Again, I agree. They weren't bad last year. They just had one glaring weakness, and nobody could exploit it but Oregon and Michigan. And Minnesota was running the ball on them, but Minnesota isn't nearly as talented as Michigan and Oregon is. And they Ohio State couldn't. They only had one stop against Michigan that entire game, and that was when Kay threw that pick. I don't think Michigan punt. Maybe they punted once.
I think they didn't punt. There's the end of the half possession, but then, like, that doesn't count.
Yeah, no, those don't count. But yeah, this, I don't. Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going undefeated. Again, I understand. You know, now you can't ever pick a team to go undefeated because nobody's going to mess with that on the lines. Penn State 8.5. I want to hear your take on this.
This is where I think it gets interesting. I am going to take the under here. I'm not a James Franklin believer. I think he's massively overrated. I don't know what he does for those high schoolers to get him to come to Happy Valley, but he just can't coach. They play Auburn on the road, which I think is a loss. They play Michigan on the road, loss. Ohio State, loss. Purdue, sneaky loss. Michigan State, I think, is a loss too. And then also I think they could lose at Maryland. I think Sean Clifford, not that good. I think their O-line was horrible last year. They might
terrible,
get better.
Terrible.
Just terrible last year. They don't really have any, like, weapons. I mean,
Purple Washington is good.
Yeah, they had, I think they had a running back last year who was pretty good, but
they couldn't run the ball because of the O-line. But yeah, they did. Yeah. They have a good running back room. And Parker Washington's quietly one of the better receivers in the country. And Sean Clifford's probably average in the grand scheme of the Big Ten. Maybe a little below average. But this is the most interesting one because this is really a toss-up. I think between 8 and 9 is perfect. So, yeah. Again, Michigan and Ohio State, I'm going to just chalk those up as losses. Auburn's a mess of a program right now.
I agree, but something about SEC teams on the road, I feel like it's bad news for James Franklin.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, but even if they win against Auburn, I mean, like, Minnesota toss-up, Maryland kind of a toss-up, Michigan State, I mean, it's at Penn State, so I think that works in their benefit, but Michigan State is not a cakewalk for them. Purdue's not either. Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah, I think I'm going to go under, but this is not one I would feel comfortable betting on. I think 8.5 is a really, really good number because there's still a ton of talent on this team. I just think they're a lot worse than Michigan and Ohio State. And then after that, they're right in the mix in the Big Ten.
Yeah, again, deciding factor, I think, is coaching. I think even though they might have more talent than Michigan, I'm once again a Jim Harbaugh believer. I've said this before. I believe in him. I like him. I like him now.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in the recruiting. I don't think I've just heard stories about Michigan's recruiting from players. I'm not sure. They need to do something different. But, yeah, no, I mean, he's a very good in-game coach. I agree with that. Staying in the East. Here's where we get to the lower teams. Rutgers is 4. Now, Rutgers, they have their wins against Wagner, Temple, Nebraska, and Indiana. They very well could lose to Nebraska. But their losses, so the other teams they play Boston College out of conference, which is probably a loss. They get Iowa, Ohio State, Minnesota, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Maryland. This is tough. I think I'm going to go under. They have a lot of... I mean, again, all the teams... The only games that are easy are Wagner, Temple, Nebraska, and Indiana. So that would be them hitting it. And Nebraska's not easy. But, like, I don't see them winning any of those other games.
I'm going under, too. I don't see them beating Nebraska at all. Spoiler alert. I'm kind of high on Nebraska, actually. I don't... They could be Indiana. Indiana's also kind of a mess, but terrible, I'm gonna go under two. I think Wagner, Temple, and that's probably it.
I think they'd be Indiana. I think they're more talented than Indiana, but yeah, I mean that's a tough stretch. Again, Boston College, Iowa, Ohio State, Minnesota, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Maryland. That is not easy for Rutgers. Like that's being the worst team in a good. I always say being the worst team in a good conference is always tough because you don't get to go against yourself. So, you know, Indiana's the only other team in the East that's just a cakewalk. And speaking of Indiana, 4 wins as well. And they play Illinois, they get Idaho, Western Kentucky, and Cincinnati out of conference. I'm going to just chalk Cincinnati up as a loss. Then they get Nebraska, Michigan, Rutgers, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Illinois, Idaho, Maryland, Purdue. I think this is another under. I think this is another under. This team's probably winning like one or two games.
I think it's under for sure. I don't think they'll get close to being Purdue. I think I'm also higher on Purdue.
Yeah, I think I like Purdue to win the West. With spoiler alert, I'm actually going to Purdue Penn State week one. I have a friend that goes there, so as of right now, I am going to fly to Indianapolis for that game.
You should bring like a microphone around and do, you know, the interviews that they do on like TikTok.
I've honestly been thinking about it because I remember when I went to Alabama, Miami. Some people from, was it Overtime? It was some one of those sites was doing something like that. And I was thinking like, man, like, yeah, that would be good content. Yeah, yeah, you know what? I may do it. It's a night game too.
You gotta go. If you ever press me, you're like, does body count matter? What's your body count? They'll eat that up.
So no football questions.
You'll ask like one football question, whatever. But then you'll go up to all the girls. Does body count matter? What's your body count? Because that's what's gonna get the clicks. That's what's gonna drive up the clicks on Between the Green. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, I also have the under on Indiana.
Yeah,
I think as sad as it is, I think Tom Allen. He will get axed. Yeah, just after signing an extension.
Yeah, they were great in the COVID year. You know, which COVID year was fluky for a lot of teams, but I honestly thought Tom Allen was gonna get them to a consistent bowl team, which for Indiana is about as much as you can ask for. But now, I mean, they're not even where Purdue is. Purdue's so much better than them with Jeff Brown. Yeah, Indiana's a tough one. You know, I could see them beating Idaho. I could see them beating Illinois. Other than that, Western Kentucky last year was, you know, Bailey Zapp had them looking good. I don't know exactly what to expect from them this year, but Maryland should beat them. Purdue should beat them. I don't know why they have CBS has them beating both those teams. Cincinnati's going to kick the crap out of them. Nebraska's going to. Michigan's going to. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. All these teams are probably going to kick the crap out of Indiana. And they can probably play close with some teams. I don't think they hit four. There's only two teams I think they're objectively 100% better than, and that's Illinois and Idaho. Maybe that's a toss-up too. And they'll probably win a game they shouldn't win, but not a fan. Not a believer.
Yeah, I don't really know who's on their team. Do they still have the quarterback? I don't want to say his name. It's kind of penis. Do they still have penis on their team?
I
remember him being like a lot worse than people said he was. He just was not very good.
Oh no, you're talking about Penix, Michael Penix. Yeah. No, he's gone. Yeah, he's at like USF or something. Yeah. He went south. I don't remember. Yeah, he was bad. He was good in that COVID year. After that, I mean, I remember, man, was it the they play like, was it Iowa early? They played someone early.
Yeah, it was
Iowa, and he just was out there just throwing the ball to the other team. I'm like, yeah, this guy's bad. Finishing off the Big Ten East, we have Maryland. So Maryland always starts off every year looking pretty promising, and then they just fall down to earth. And part of that, honestly, is scheduling. Their schedule is always very favorable early, except for those two times they kicked the shit out of Texas back to back. But so out of conference they get Buffalo, Charlotte, and SMU, and then obviously they're in the Big Ten East. But then they also get Wisconsin and Northwestern. Wisconsin obviously is a tough one. Over under is six. What's your pick here?
I'm gonna go over. I
think so too.
I'm gonna go over. I think they win a game they shouldn't, and then all the games they're favored in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been consuming some Big Ten football content in the offseason. Apparently, Alia was pretty good last year. I didn't watch a ton of him. I know he threw for a lot of yards, but he was pretty inconsistent. But I think that if he can, you know, be more consistent, he has receiving weapons. I think their defense was pretty bad last year.
Yeah,
I think their offense will carry them to win a game that they shouldn't, and then win the rest of their games that they're favored in, and I think they'll go over six wins.
Yeah, this Rakeem, Jared, that Demas, and I'm drawing a brain fart. They have a third receiver who's also great. Their receiver room is very good. I think this is the year Mike Locksley finally has like a really promising year, which 7 or 8 wins, I would probably be okay with that, given them the Big Ten East. I think Michigan State is the one they probably beat. They'll beat Indiana. Wisconsin is a weird one because Wisconsin probably can't score, so Maryland might just I mean, they can play defense, but Maryland might just score too much for them. Penn State, sleeper game. I don't think they beat Michigan or Ohio State, but, like, I can see them beating Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. Not all three. They're not winning all three, but all three of those they can win. They'll beat Rutgers. They'll beat Indiana. Purdue is a toss-up. They'll beat Buffalo. They'll beat Charlotte. And it's Rhett Lashley's first year at SMU after Sonny Dykes left. So I'm going to say they beat SMU as well. I think this is a seven-win team. 7 or 8 wins. I honestly think Maryland has actually a really good year. Just offensively, they're like they're as talented as a lot of – they're more talented than most teams in the country offensively.
I think that MSU's secondary was not very good last year, and I think that Maryland could easily steal that game. I agree.
Yeah, and Maryland – you know, for all the talk, real quick, for all the talk about, like, the way the Big Ten is set up, how in the West has been down, but it's also down in this. It's not like the SEC East where it's just, like, Florida and Tennessee have just been worse. So that's why the SEC East has been so bad. The Big Ten West, geographically, just is at such a disadvantage from the East. You know, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, like, they're all in way better locations than anybody in the West. Like, Illinois does not have football talent. Purdue does not have, is not close to talent. You know, Wisconsin's came up with a formula for winning, and that's allowed them to get better players than they should, but they're still not recruiting at a high level. Maryland, though, Maryland and Rutgers at the East, the other two teams in the East who haven't been recruiting well, unlike the other four, especially Michigan State as of late, Maryland and Rutgers are very close to, I mean, the DMV area is full of talent. Rutgers, there's always an R hat on guys from New Jersey's table when they, on signing day or when they commit. Jabril Peppers, you know, those thoughts he could go to Rutgers. Guys just never pick them. They always pick somewhere else. And, you know, if either one of those teams gets the right coach in there, they could be, they could easily start signing top 25 classes. So, you know, if Maryland has a couple good years, look, they could also be pretty good coming out the Big Ten East. Now, it's going to be tough just given how good that conference is with actual blue blood teams, but yeah, Maryland and Rutgers could honestly end up being pretty good programs.
Yeah, I think to your comment about the Big Ten West, I think that's going obviously going to change once USC and UCLA are in the conference, which is good, definitely a good thing. It balances the conference, but maybe they go back to like the leaders and legends thing that they did for a bit.
Yeah, or like a pod. I don't know if you've seen those things like the pod concepts.
I think I have.
It's like four teams per pod, and then there's like a whole schedule thing. They got to do something. This is just so unbalanced. The best team in that West is at best, and Wisconsin's best years, they were the third best team in the Big Ten. Maybe one or two years they were legitimately second. But, I mean, usually they're worse than Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State some years. And Iowa last year, I don't know where they would have finished in the East. So, yeah, it's definitely tough. And again, it's not like the SEC where it's just teams are at a down spiral. It's that these teams physically cannot compete. So we can go to the West. Let's start with Illinois. 4.5 for Illinois. What is your prediction here?
I think I'm going to go under.
I think I am too.
CBS has them beating Purdue. That's not happening.
They're not beating Minnesota either.
Yeah, that's not happening. I don't think Minnesota's very good. I think Minnesota's overrated, and I think PJ Fleck is overrated.
Yeah.
But I think Illinois might be the worst team in the conference. They've never been consistently good in my lifetime, and I don't see it happening next year. I don't see them winning 5 games, especially when they draw Iowa and Nebraska, who I don't think they'll beat either of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they? Am I looking at this wrong? No.
Yeah, they play Iowa. They always play Iowa and Nebraska because of the West. So they draw Michigan State and Michigan out of the East.
That's what I thought.
That's horrible. Yeah, I feel bad for them. They couldn't get Rutgers or Maryland. That is tough.
Yeah.
Out of conference, they get Virginia, loss, Wyoming, and Chattanooga. I honestly could see them losing to Wyoming or Chattanooga in a weird way. They'll win a game they're not supposed to win. Northwestern, we'll get to Northwestern. They're a really weird team because every other year they're very good for some reason. But this has got to be an under. If they beat Wyoming, Chattanooga, and then one team they shouldn't, they should probably beat Indiana too. They could beat Indiana too. They're not beating Minnesota. I don't think they're beating Purdue. Northwestern's a toss-up. So at best, I could see them winning 4 games. But at best. And that's on, that's if things just go right. I'm not a believer. I think 4.5 is a little high. If it was 3.5, I might take the over. I think it's a 4-win team. They won 5 last year, but yeah, I think I agree with you.
I'm not a Brett Bielema guy either. I think he's past his prime in terms of college football.
Yeah, I don't know. Illinois seems like a very, very difficult job. Because yeah. at Purdue, like Purdue and like Kentucky are schools where if you win 8 games every year, you're the man. And I understand why Stoops and drawing a Purdue coach. Why am I drawing blanks at this today?
Brom,
yeah, Jeff Brom. I understand why these guys stay there. It's a great. They're getting paid a bunch of money to just you know be good, not great. Illinois, I don't see how you could be good there. I don't. There's no. You're not close to talent, and any talent that's in the area is going to Notre Dame. So it's tough. They can have good years, but yeah, I think I'm gonna go under there with you. Iowa. 7.5. Does that not seem low to you?
It seems, that honestly seems high to me. I'm astronomically low on Iowa after what I saw this past year. They were just so lucky this year. I don't see them beating Wisconsin. I don't see them beating Michigan. I don't see them beating Ohio State. I don't see them beating Purdue. I don't even see them beating Nebraska or Iowa State. I think Matt Campbell at this point in his career is probably a better coach than, oh my God. Now I'm drawing a blank. The Iowa coach, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, Ferentz, his name. Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, Ferentz. He's been there too long. He hasn't done anything really great ever. I think they're really bad. They don't really return anyone, and the people they return are not very good, especially on offense. Yeah. Which their offense was so bad. It was so bad.
If their offense was average, they'd easily be over. Because defensively, they're never going to be bad defensively with Ferentz.
Yeah,
they just have to be average on offense, and this is easy over. Yeah. But notable games, obviously, they get Iowa State out of conference as always. They get Nevada, and then they get South Dakota State. And shout out to the Jack Roberts are always one of the best teams in FCS. But they should still like certain teams play. Like if you don't have good enough linemen, you're just going to lose to Iowa. If you're not decent all around, because they could just take away certain things. But if you're close to them in talent or better than them in talent, you should beat them. I agree. Yeah. I think Iowa State beats them. Michigan's a loss. Ohio State's a loss. Purdue's probably a loss. Minnesota's a toss. They should probably beat Minnesota. This is tough. You know what? Because they're not beating Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State. And then there's probably one more in there between Purdue, Iowa State. So, yeah, I'm going to go under as well. I think this is probably a 7-win team. I don't know. Because, again, when you first see the number, it sounds low. Like, 7.5 for the way Iowa's been the last decade sounds low. But I think 7-5 is probably realistic. But they're right on the cusp, for sure,
yeah.
of being good enough.
In my eyes, they lost their best offensive player from a not very good offense already. So if you've ever seen their offense in person, you would know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've seen them play. I've seen Michigan play them. Michigan, it was a few years ago. I think it was 2019. We played them, like, oddly close. Like, really,
yeah,
really close.
Yeah, I was there. I remember that.
Yeah, that game was, brutal.
It was horrific.
That was brutal. But we still won. Did I go to OT? That was the Army game.
The Army game. I was also at that one.
That was a fun game to be at, even though it was.
I remember that game where they had Zach Sharp and they run 4 straight times up the middle on like a short distance to get the first down. He didn't get it each time. I was so done.
Yeah, that's definitely I got the notification as well. Minnesota, another 7.5. The next two we're gonna do are 7.5s. So they draw out of conference New Mexico State, Western Illinois, and Colorado. As far as Big Ten East teams, they get Michigan State and Penn State. Oh, man, that's tough. Again, they're no favors. Anybody who doesn't get Maryland or Rutgers out the East, that's just tough because you're getting two quality opponents coming in there. What are you thinking with 7.5?
So I'm thinking, like I said earlier, I think PJ Fleck is very overrated, and I would hammer the under here. I don't see them beating MSU. I don't see them beating Wisconsin and Penn State. I don't see them beating Nebraska because I'm a bit higher on Nebraska. I don't see them beating Purdue. And I don't even see them, I don't think, beating Colorado. Because Colorado is usually pretty decent. And I say Colorado is usually on a tier with Minnesota in terms of how they've been recently. And I just think it's a toss-up for me. And with too many games I already think they're going to lose, I can't pick the over here.
Yeah, Colorado, I'll pick them to beat Colorado just off the fact Minnesota's at home. But, a lot of people are high on Minnesota. They obviously had that one magical year. What was that, 2019? They had that magical year. So New Mexico State's definitely a win. Western Illinois is a win. I'm going to say they beat Colorado. I'm going to say they beat Rutgers. They beat Northwestern. And they probably beat Iowa. That's six. They have to win two between Illinois, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Michigan State. I think I'm going to go eight. Honestly, I think I'll go eight. I think they win some games they shouldn't win. Mo Ibrahim is a very good running back for sure. And it's not even that I think they're that good. I think they go over. Again, this is a tough one. The next one we have isn't as tough for me.
I feel like eight is kind of PJ Fleck's number where he needs to be for like the Mark Stoops treatment. Mm-hmm. I feel like if he gets to eight, he'll be him in Minnesota. They'll be comfortable for at least a few years.
Yeah, I agree. I think eight in Minnesota is pretty good. Our favorite team apparently, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, 7.5. So just
let's start to lie on Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm just I understand like people are high on Nebraska. It is tough to pick them being any better. Just because, they went 3-9 last year. However, they had fourth quarter leads against Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. That right there is seven wins. And yeah. That also, they were in every single game, except they got blown out at the end of the year. Was it Wisconsin who blew them out? Or is it Iowa? Iowa, I think. I think Iowa blew them out.
No, I think they were winning against Iowa, and then they just turned the ball over three times.
Yeah. So was it somebody blew them out at the end of the
year? I think it was Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think they finally got their asses kicked. Non-conference, they draw North Dakota, Georgia Southern, and Oklahoma. Out of the East, they draw Michigan and Rutgers. So there's a win in there, probably. I think I'm gonna go over. I know this is Nebraska's year. I think they come out the West. The West is a toss-up. Like I can almost see anybody coming out the West. I think I'm gonna go over.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over too. I'm really high in Nebraska, except I think only blemish. I think really will be. I think they're not gonna be any they're not gonna be any good teams. They're gonna kind of be like the buffer zone, where if you beat Nebraska, you're a good team, but if you lose to them, you're a not-so-good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a weird zone.
Yeah.
But I think they'll play Oklahoma close. I think they'll probably play Wisconsin close. I think we're going to blow them out by mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah, at Michigan is tough. If it was at Nebraska, I think it's a good game again. But
I just think we will. I get that vibe, because mm-hmm. Harbaugh definitely hates Scott Frost. Why
would he hate Scott Frost?
Well, the UCF out-hit thing, first of all, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Scott Frost sold Michigan out in the 97 season. So he's not a liked man on campus. So I think they're gonna get blown out at Michigan. But other than that, like, they were good last year, and they got Casey Thompson from Texas, who I think is probably going to be better than Adrian Martinez. He was good last year at Texas.
Yeah.
I think he'll
be
better. So I don't see why they won't be at least a 500 team. And I think they will get over 7.5 wins.
Yeah. I think, they got to make. They haven't made a bowl game in like 6 years or whatever. They got to make one. So they get Oklahoma at home. They get Wisconsin at home. And they get Minnesota at home. They go to Purdue. They go to Iowa. They're going to win one. They're going to beat they should beat Wisconsin's a toss up. I hope they beat Iowa. Although the last game of the year is always weird. Oklahoma Nebraska, I think Oklahoma wins, but man, if I had money, I would be going to that game. Honestly, that would be an automatic I'm going to that game situation. That just seems like it'll be a great time. Nebraska's on like towards the top of my list of places I need to go. Have you been there? Cuz I know you travel a lot for Michigan.
I was going to last year, and we would have, except my dad had a wedding on the day of the game, so we didn't go. But we almost did.
Yeah, that would have been a great game.
We will soon. I know for a fact we will soon.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of want Nebraska to be good. Like, of all the Big Ten West teams, I think I like them the most because they're the coolest. Even though they don't really feel like a Big Ten team still. This has got to be an over, man. 7.5 isn't even that high. I think they're the best team in the West. They hit the portal very hard. I think Casey Thompson is a good quarterback, like you said. I think Scott Frost knows this is a make-or-break year for his job. Obviously, Nebraska alum, he loves the university. I'm going to go over. I'm picking them to win the West.
Really?
I think so. Who would you pick to win the West right now? To me, it's them or Wisconsin.
It's tough. I don't think Purdue will quite win the West. I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll win the West.
Oh, yeah, or Purdue, yeah.
I don't think Iowa will. So it is, I think, between Nebraska and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's like, they're kind of like a boogeyman in the Big Ten West. I think they're, no matter what you do, they're going to, at the end of the season, they're going to be like almost in contention or mm-hmm. in contention. Like this past year, they started 1-3, got like destroyed at home, like two games in a row.
Oh yeah.
And they came back, nearly made the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
So never a good idea to pick against them.
Yeah.
And I would probably take them over Nebraska right now because they've done it so much. Mm-hmm. And because I think Braylon Allen is a freak.
Yeah. He's one of the, yeah, he's probably the third best running back in the conference, maybe behind Corum and Travion Henderson.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's always a tough one, and we will get to Wisconsin in a second. All right, Northwestern, 3.5. Goose, what is your pick here?
I'm gonna go under. Northwestern, they weren't good last year, and again, same situation. They don't recruit very well, and they didn't really return anyone of note. So I'm gonna go under. I don't know. Maybe it's a vibes pick. Maybe I just don't have the right vibes. I will be visiting Northwestern, so maybe the vibes will change. But for right now, I'm gonna go under on that one.
Why are you visiting Northwestern?
Because I might go to college there.
Big man. Yeah. Great university. No questioning that. However, the on-field product is not exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately. That will be my deciding decision will be the fact that Northwestern sucks at football, so I can't go there.
Yeah, that seems like a really tough play. I've heard George Kittle was talking about how tough it is to play at Northwestern because it was like, he was talking about it was a noon game, it was freezing cold, it was no one there, it was wet, and every single play, there's that wildcat noise, that rah, rah, like that cat noise.
So I've been to Northwestern, and I can tell you that does happen, mm-hmm. and I can also tell you that their stadium sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. So bad. Yeah. I've been by it. I haven't been to a game, but I've been to Chicago a lot. So
they have one big board, and the way I was sitting, I was behind it, so I could not see the big board at all during the game. It was horrible, and they play the same sound effect at the Penn State games, and they do it more at the Penn State games, and it's more annoying because the fans are nuts at the Penn State games as well. So I, in terms of stadiums I've been to, I would still say Penn State's harder, but Northwestern is also like, it's very hard because the stadium just sucks.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, the weird atmosphere, like if you're in a Big Ten, you know, you go to the Big House, you know, you go to the Horseshoe, you go to Penn State, you go to all these stadiums and then you go to Northwestern. It's just such a difference. Like, I don't know. It just seems, I can understand how like that can just throw you off your game, honestly. Anyway, 3.5 wins. So they only have them winning their out of conference games, which are Duke, Southern Illinois, Miami, Ohio. Duke is not is probably about equal to them. Shout out I got a friend who plays at Duke, but
okay,
yeah. I mean, I went to high school with him, but and you know they got Mike Elko there now, who I think is going to be a really good coach for them. So from the East, they draw Ohio State and Maryland. So you can just chalk those up as losses. 3.5. I gotta go under. This seems bad. Yeah, I think this is under. This is a 3-win team. Maybe they win 4. Like, I don't know. They could win a game they're not supposed to win. And if they win their 3-9 conference, there you go. If they win their 3-9, if they beat Duke, Southern Illinois, Miami, Ohio, which is very possible, all they gotta do is beat one of, like, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Maryland, Iowa, or Illinois. You know what? I'm gonna go over. I say they win 4 games.
I would not bet on this line. It's just like
3.5. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just too much can go right. Too much can go wrong.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go under. I just don't think they'll win over 3 games.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that one. Yeah, very tough place. I don't know. I mean, Brandon Joseph also left, so there's that. I'm not a fan. You know, I do think Pat Fitzgerald is a pretty good... I mean, the fact that they're good sometimes is pretty impressive. I think he's a pretty solid coach.
I think their best player is, like, a tackle, too.
It is. That, which, you know... I mean, there's nothing wrong with your best player being a tackle. It happens to good teams, too, but when he's, like, your best player and your team's not good, you know. Now, a team I care about a little bit because one of my best friends goes there. The Purdue Boilermakers, 7 wins. So, out of conference, they draw Indiana State, FAU, and Syracuse. Out of the East, they draw Penn State and Maryland. They draw Penn State, Maryland, and Indiana? So they get 3 East games?
I guess.
All right. Well, that's what I'm looking at.
It's kind of weird. Does that happen every year?
Maybe. I wish I could tell you. But regardless of that, 7 wins is the number. What do you think here?
Okay, this is a vibe to pick for me 100% because Purdue's very weird. Just every year. I could definitely see Purdue losing to, like, Florida Atlantic on some BS, but then, like, win their hardest game of the year for not really any reason. Like, I don't think they'll lose to Syracuse. I don't think they'll lose to Illinois or Indiana. I think they will beat Indiana State, Florida Atlantic, Iowa, Northwestern, and that, I believe that's 7 wins right there. And then they could probably win a game they won't supposed to, but they'll also probably lose a game they won't supposed to.
One of those games you chalked up as a win will be a loss. Syracuse is at Syracuse, by the way, which, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That seems, I don't know, a dome is weird. So, to me, this is all about their first game is Penn State. And that will tell us everything we need to know about this team. Because if they just get, like, if they lose a close game, they can still hit the over easily. If they lose bad... If they just don't look good, then we know. Like, week one, we'll know. You know, some teams, you know, they have games they're just going to win by a million or they just have no chance of winning. That game is going to determine this. I'm going to go over because I'm going to that game, and I believe, you know, it's a blackout. You know, shout out Purdue for that. I think I think if Indiana State, FAU, Iowa, Northwestern, I think those are all wins. I think Maryland and Purdue are kind of similar, but I think Purdue's defense is better, so I'm saying they beat Maryland, and they beat Illinois, Indiana. I got to go over. I think 7 wins is probably just the number. They probably just won 7 games, but I'm going to say they went 8 or 9. This is a big year for Brom. He's getting paid a lot of money, and I know he still has them better than anyone else has ever had Purdue, but, you know, just from a, you know, if he ever wants to get that job upgrade that he's, you know, kind of not taken, then he's going to have to do something this year.
Yeah. Well, I like the way Purdue runs their offense. They just chuck the ball around.
Yeah.
And I think that really is not how the Big Ten plays, but that's how the rest of the country plays. And I really like it. And I think sooner or later, and I think this year, I think it will work out more than it has before.
Yeah, I think Aiden O'Connell's a good quarterback. Losing David Bell and Karlaftis is big. I mean, they didn't have either one of them in the bowl game, though, and I mean, they shouldn't have won that game, but whatever. I don't know. I think I like the over, but I think 7 probably just hits is what I'm getting. Major 7 win vibes, but they beat Penn State, they're hitting the over. I'm gonna just say that now. They beat Penn State, they're hitting the over.
Yeah,
but they're one of those, they're gonna win games they shouldn't and they lose games they shouldn't. We're gonna close it out with Wisconsin. 9 wins. So they like Wisconsin the most out of the West, which, I mean, if I had to bet, I probably would too. I just trust them the most. Out of conference, they get Washington State, New Mexico State, and Illinois State. Probably 3 wins there. Out of the East, they get Michigan State and Ohio State. probably both losses. They can beat Michigan State, but Ohio State's a loss. What are you feeling here?
I think that I think Illinois State, Washington State, New Mexico State, Illinois Northwestern, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Maryland are all wins, and I'm pretty confident in those wins. So Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, you have to win two of those. I think they win Iowa pretty comfortably. So you have to win one of Purdue, OSU, and MSU. And I might be crazy for saying this, and I might be a hater, but I think they might have the best chance of beating Michigan State. Michigan State last year, maybe kind of a finesse team, and Wisconsin is very much not finesse. Not I feel like that could play into their favor, especially on the, maybe like on the road mm-hmm. where they need to be gritty. And I think that could help them. So I think they will pull out a win in one of Purdue, OSU, and MSU, and they will hit the over. And
They get Purdue at home. They get Michigan. Okay, whoever does these schedules is not fair, because if you're going to get Michigan State and Ohio State, at least give you one at home. But anyway, if I was a Wisconsin fan, I'd be upset by that. They go to Iowa, so maybe that's a loss. They get Maryland at home. They go to Nebraska. They get Minnesota at home. And then all three non-conference games are at home. I'm getting 9-win vibes. I'm gonna go over. Maybe they win. Maybe they go 10-2. I think if they beat Michigan State, they're going 10-2. So I think that's probably their biggest swing game. Granted, they play Michigan State, kind of in the second half. They play Michigan State in the second half of the season. So, but I mean, they'll be 3-0 going to Ohio State, and then they'll probably be 5-1 going into Michigan State. So if they win that, then they probably only lose one more game, but that is a tough one. I think 9 wins is probably the number. I wish they could have given us a half number here. I think the X factor is really Graham Mertz. Can they throw the ball at all? And I mean, in Graham Mertz's defense, their receiver room isn't exactly Ohio State's. But that's got to be the X factor, because defensively and running the ball wise, they're going to be good.
I mean, I don't know. The more you're saying 10 wins, the less I'm with it. I just don't see.
I'm not touching this bet.
Yeah.
So wait, who do you think is a better team? Wisconsin, neutral field, Wisconsin, Nebraska, who wins? It's a tough one. I think Wisconsin still is probably the better team.
Here's the thing, though, is that Scott Frost is a very good offensive play caller, despite what some people may say. He can call some plays.
Yeah, he can.
I think I might take Nebraska. I just think offensively, they are just would be a lot more creative than Wisconsin, and it would just let them score more. Even though their defense not that great, but Wisconsin's offense is one dimensional, so they would take Nebraska. So I guess I'll go under here. I'll go under.
Definitely a tough one. Here's the thing about Wisconsin. We know for a fact Wisconsin can run the ball. We know for a fact defensively they're going to be pretty good. I don't know how good. I don't think this is one of the best Wisconsin defenses, but I don't think it's going to be, like, bad. And they'll be better. They don't think they start as slow as they did last year, partially due to scheduling. They don't get Michigan and they get Ohio State early, but they don't get Michigan and Notre Dame very early. But it was week 2 and week 3 last year. So that's why I think Wisconsin, like, we know some stuff of Wisconsin. What do we know for a fact with Nebraska?
Not much.
Yeah, it's a lot of vibe checks there. Yeah. And, I still think Nebraska makes a bowl game and stuff. These are, to me, the two best teams in the West. I'm going to go over. I'm going to just stick with 9. Not the most confident in that.
Yeah, I'm going 9-2. You've convinced me. I'm going the under.
Yeah,
they're too much like Iowa for me to think they'll be able to win 10 games.
They're better than Iowa.
And they're better than Iowa for sure, but I don't think they'll be able to win 10 games.
For sure. So right now, your Big Ten championship game is
Ohio State, for sure, and I'm still gonna go Wisconsin as my champion.
Yeah,
me too. Think, but I don't think they're gonna hit their over, and I think. Much like the mid to early 2010s, I think Ohio State is going to roll Wisconsin in the championship game by a sizable margin. But I do think it'll be Ohio State and Wisconsin.
For sure. Goose, thank you for being on the podcast, man. I really appreciate it.
I'm happy to join in the restart. Would this be the first episode of Between the Green since the restart?
Yes, it is the first episode. I have another topic coming up later, but thank you for being on. I really appreciate it. Real quick, just out of curiosity, do you know like who are your four teams in the playoff right now? You may not even have it.
Okay, I don't, but I can do this. Ohio State for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, because they had an absolutely nuts transfer class.
Oh, yeah. Jermaine Burton and Eli Ricks is insane.
Yeah. And the running back.
And Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs from Tech.
I want to go sleeper pick. I'm going to go USC because I think their schedule is not very good. And they just got also some pretty crazy talent in the transfer portal and a really good coach.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't, this fourth team, I'm not too sure on. Maybe a team like Baylor could get in.
Vegas is not like Baylor. I think Vegas has Baylor like a 7.5-1 team after the year they had last.
Maybe not, because normally the sports books know better than I do. But the fourth team is the one I'm not too confident on. Maybe another SEC team could
get Georgia. In there. It's Georgia. I don't know if you've seen Georgia's schedule. I mean, Oregon, they get Oregon in a quote-unquote neutral site. It's in Atlanta. I don't understand why Oregon would agree to that.
I don't think Oregon's like, I'm an Oregon hater. I haven't said this, but I can't for the life of me understand why people like Oregon so much and why they think they're this great team, or even why recruits go there so much when they're just constantly never very good. Well, I get that the whole Nike thing and that they're going to be NIL monsters, but like they just don't win. They just don't win.
They don't win enough. They win. They just don't win as much as they probably should. I think Dan Lanning is honestly a better coach than Cristobal Ball. He's recruiting at an insane level. And Cristobal Ball could recruit too. But it's going to get tougher for Oregon, obviously. We don't know what the Pac-12 looks like. Granted, Dante Moore committed 3 days after the USC-UCLA thing. So, you know, he's still bought in. But Oregon, it's going to get tougher because they really feasted on Southern California talent because they were the one team on the West Coast who was really good. Now, you know, USC's back. And, you know, and obviously now there's still going to be other kids in Southern California who want to leave home. But, you know, now you're still going to be fighting what, you know, Alabama gets kids from there, Georgia, Ohio State, you know, whoever. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting few years for Oregon. I think the regionality of the sport is like, you know, South Florida. Now Miami's kind of holding down South Florida. You know, you got USC, you know, Texas A&M are holding down Texas. So schools that, you know, rely on outsourcing talent is going to be tougher for them. But point is, Georgia has a very, very, very easy schedule. They're going to go into the SEC championship game. I'll say this. Outside of the Oregon game, would you believe me if I told you their hardest game was at Kentucky? Because they get Tennessee at home. So I would imagine at Kentucky's harder than Tennessee at home. Maybe.
I mean, Tennessee could be a sleeper, but
Yeah. I'm going to Tennessee as well. Tennessee, Florida, as of right now. But that could be switched to Tennessee, Alabama. It's up to my little brother's coming down to visit me in Georgia. But anyway, Goose, I appreciate you for being on. For sure we'll have you on again soon. We got definitely talk Michigan football before the season starts. But you want to plug anything? You want to shout anybody out?
I'm not going to plug. I don't have anything to plug, but definitely I'll probably come back for some Michigan talk because Michigan is, in terms of sports, my pride and joy. I love the Wolverines.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know why you say you might go to Nebraska. I don't think you have a choice. I think you're going to Michigan, but knowing your family, you know, somewhat well, but I digress, man. Thank you for being on. Subscribe to the Bradman Breakdown where you hear more of me and Goose discussing, you know, other things.
Anyways, thank you everybody for listening to this week's episode of Between the Green. Expect new episodes weekly. Please again subscribe, follow the podcast, give it a 5-star review, whatever the system is on whatever podcast system you're listening to. Thank you if you made it this far. Follow me on Twitter, Gabe Green, GREENE01. I'll try to get back with you. And just, you know, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you.